Thanks for joining us on the Port City Church podcast. More information about Port City Church is available at portcitychurch.org.
So today I'm here with some of my favorite people on the planet to talk about one of the most foundational and transformational and yet most intimidating parts of our faith. And that is this book, the Bible, right? And today we just want to have a conversation about this book, about what the Bible is and how we approach it and kind of what it means for us. Because one of the things that we say around here at Port City is that our mission is to reach people and to help them walk with God. And I think one of the ways that we can really help people walk with God is to help them to become more comfortable and confident in the Bible, right? And as we know what this book is and how to approach it and what we should take away from it, then we learn more in our walk with God and we're able to grow in our walk with God. And so, yeah, today, this Sunday, we could have had Mike preach an awesome message on the Bible, but we thought it would be different and interesting and helpful for us just to have a conversation, for us to get to share a different perspective and the way that we see the scriptures and how we think about it. Because we know that everyone in our church is different, right? We think different ways and we see things differently. Yeah. And so the four of us just are going to have a conversation about the Bible today. And we really do believe that as you become more comfortable and confident in understanding the Bible, reading it, and living it out in your everyday, ordinary life, that you will grow closer with God. Yep. And so, yeah, I think where we would start in that and helping someone grow more comfortable and confident is just the most basic question, which is also a loaded question. And it's, what is the Bible? Like, what is this book that we so often talk about on a Sunday or encourage people to read during the week? What is it? Yeah. So Mike, I think we'll just start with you as our pastor. Like, yeah. what is the Bible?
Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. And I think that's part of the thing that makes it so, you know, when you talk about having people be confident or become confident in interacting with it, is to understand what it is. Because most people, you know, most books you start at the beginning and you read from the, you know, front to the back. And this is not unlike that. Like, Genesis begins within the beginning, but the Bible isn't a single literary work, right? It's a collection. The word Bible actually means, you know, it comes from the word that means library or collection. It's a collection of books. And particularly, this one is a collection of history. It's a collection of law. It's a collection of poems. It's a collection of songs. You've got historical accounts that are designed to be historical. You got others that are designed to be to pass on. And then you have a lot of letters toward the back. You even have a weird group that are called apocryphal books, which really talk about, they use a lot of symbolism and things like that. So that's what it is. You know, my approach, or the way we approach this as a church, I'm trying to make a lot of notes and just think about this, but, you know, I primarily, you know, want to approach it with a level of reverence, because I think it warrants that. I also feel like it's revelation, you know, that what you read and experience when you pursue the scriptures and you read the Bible is it's God revealing, it's unfolding himself to you. And the thing that I think one of the most important things to keep in mind is that it is a single narrative. Although it's a collection of books, it's a single narrative of God's redemptive activity in the world in which he's made and how that gets to be brought to fruition. And, maybe one of the other things that I think is worth noting is the way I approach it, because I'm kind of a simple person, is when I read the Bible, I get to see who God is and I get to see how God is. And those two things kind of frame how I interact. So if I'm reading a letter or if I'm reading the history part or even the wisdom part, that's usually the two things that are on my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think I was trying to think if there's anything else that currently exists that has such a diverse approach to one narrative. And at first I thought no, because no publisher is going to publish that. But then I thought, I think now we're seeing some magazines and things like that, some collective, you know, things that are published, and it's sort of a diverse approach. But the difference is that they're a bit static, I feel like, and that's the difference with this book, is that it's, because it is inspired by the Spirit, and, you know, it's something that's relevant, and it's, you know, it's living, it's active. Sorry, I'm thinking of the book from Harry Potter that's living and active, and that's not the same type. Right, but we interact with it. You know, it's not just a book that we read and consume. Yeah. It's a space where we get to encounter the living God. Which I love, which is great.
And it's a book of invitation. God invites us into his story through the word and through the scriptures, through the way he expresses himself through the authors who wrote the books. You know, I feel like it's this connection piece where we are allowed in to the bigger picture of who God is. And inviting us into relationship with him, not just to read it and sit in it and, you know, read the words on a page, but there's like an actual invitation into it.
Yeah, I love thinking about it, and I've learned this from you, Mike, but it is the story of God. It's the story of God and his redemptive work in this world that reveals who he is and how he is. And I love that because talking about what the Bible is, it's also helpful to understand what it's not, right? And a lot of us, we've grown up thinking about the Bible in different ways, that it's a love letter, and there's an element of that, or that it's a roadmap for life. There's an element for that. But it really is this story about who God is and how God is. And that just changes how we think about it, right?
And changes your expectation, I think, when you sit down and read it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just looking at it as, you know, as a love letter, it will get very confusing why God obliterates mankind and saves one family. That's confusing. Or why there's, you know, if you're looking at it as, I don't know, nuggets of wisdom or something like that, then you miss the larger story, you know. And so, yeah, I think it changes. This is true for anything, but how you come to it changes what you expect from it or through it. And that's why it's important to say, what is this? And how do I make sure that I'm approaching it with a clear understanding?
And that was probably my biggest hesitation. And I always loved, because I'm a practical person, so I loved Proverbs. I loved the sayings and even the teachings of Jesus in one sense. But when you begin to understand the narrative, like this redemptive grind that is happening, you see the 40 years in the wilderness, and you see these things in a much different perspective. Then it allows you to appreciate even the way things get repeated, the themes get repeated in terms of ancient culture into even how we pursue that today.
Mm-hmm. There's like a grittiness about it as you're reading. It's not flat.
Yeah. And, you know, we believe that the words written in the Bible were written by people, right, but inspired by God, which I think that's so huge because that means that every word in this book is true and it's powerful and it has, like, authority. Like, it has a weight to it. I've heard it said that it has the same authority as if God were to speak those words, like, audibly to us, you know? And so to think about that, it's like, I can come here and I can learn about God. I can also hear from God. And I can let these words have authority over my life.
And one thing you mentioned, I think, is interesting, that it's one of the only sacred book that claims to be written by human beings through the Spirit of God and not given to us by God, like the Ten Commandments or the Book of Mormon or the way, you know, Muhammad kind of downloaded. So it's really interesting. It's written with an incarnational part to it from the very beginning that really gets, I think, displayed in what Jesus came to do. So it's just really interesting when you start thinking about Jesus being the Word. Not to get off on that, but it's just so cool.
So the words are authoritative, but they're also personal for us, right? They're approachable, which is really cool.
So good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could talk about what the Bible is probably like all day, but the reality is, like, you can know what the Bible is, you can believe that the Bible is what it says it is. But at the same time, I think for all of us at some point, and for most of us today, when we pick up this book and we start to read it, it's intimidating. I know a lot of people who say, like, I know I'm supposed to read the book, right? I know I should be reading the Bible, or even, like, I want to read the Bible more. But every time I do it, I just don't know where to start, or I don't understand it. And so I think we could talk about that for a little bit. Like, why is this book intimidating? Yeah. Marlon, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I think for several reasons, I mean, that come to mind. One is that most of them, the title is the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. So I think just even the title if you understand the definition of the word holy, it's set apart. Yeah. So it says this book is different. Mm-hmm. You know, this or this collection is different, you know. If you don't know what holy means, you know that it's a Christian-y word, mm-hmm. and it just you feel like it carries more weight in that sense, you know. So I think intuitively we feel like we need to give it a greater sense of reverence, and just that what it means carries weight, which might also be why it's so hard if we misunderstand what it is, because then if we misunderstand it or we don't see the larger narrative and we say this carries weight, it hurts more.
Yeah.
And I do think that sadly for generations, you know, around the world, it has, and even today, it has been used as a weapon.
Yes.
Against people for that very reason. And so what would ever make someone want to read it, mm-hmm. if it's mm-hmm. been used against them?
Yep. Yep.
You know, which is such a miss, more than a miss, really. But then also, I guess, on a practical side, depending on the translation that you have, I just don't speak in these and thous. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of words that end with th, and that is not how I speak.
Yep.
So that's throws me off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like the Bible's intimidating because as human beings, I think we don't like to get things wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to enter into the space of reading scripture and interact with it and misunderstand it, like you said.
That's right.
We're afraid to misunderstand it, to misinterpret it, maybe to feel like we're never going to understand the grander context to be able to understand anything and see how it applies, how it relates, how it does give us a picture of how God relates with us and how we relate with others. So just that whole idea of feeling like we have to get it right,
mm-hmm.
is intimidating, yeah. because it feels like almost you have to be an expert before you ever even start. And who's an expert before they start anything? Like, that is counterproductive to have that mindset.
Yeah.
However, I think we enter into scripture that way. And I mean, I love this quote from Eugene Peterson, and I'm just going to read it right off my page, because if I don't, I'm going to misquote him. But it says, there are no experts in the company of Jesus. We are all beginners.
Yeah.
And we come to the Bible to enter in, really, to the presence of God, I think. And so we can't enter in thinking that we know everything, because that's not the posture to interact with the scriptures.
Yeah, that's good. I have it's funny you mentioned that. I have a book on my shelf. It's called Christianity's Most Dangerous Idea, and it's an exploration of Martin Luther King, the Reformation, and particularly making the Bible available to common people when it became widely distributed and as a way to read it, for people to read it for themselves. They had really contained it so that the experts were able to tell people what it said. And, you know, so when it comes to the question, you know, why is it intimidating? Because you're reading ancient literature, and we're used to reading Twitter and headlines and blog posts, and this doesn't read like that at all. So you have to, you know, find ways to enter into this a little bit differently. And I think, you know, Courtney, your point is really so setting out that we don't have to be experts to begin. In fact, we can approach it as beginners. I think it's what you said, Clay, that the fact that it's so many different genres, you can read a letter and just get a picture that this is, you know, it's meant to be written directly to, and it may not have Mike's name in it, but it is a letter written to people who are experiencing things that may be similar to what I'm experiencing, and allows me to kind of start with a really personal way. And that's the biggest thing to kind of, for me, to get over my own sense of intimidation, was to kind of recognize that I don't have to have it exactly right to begin. And that's not a license to just, you know, do false gospel, but it is a gospel. Yeah. Have got questions, and I don't understand this. God, can you help me? And I think that's where the interaction and the beauty starts to really emerge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as a follower of Jesus, we're called to be disciples,
yeah.
right? And a disciple is a student, right? So to be a student of anything, you start from zero.
Yeah.
Like, you start from not understanding, and you grow in understanding. And I think that, yeah, a lot of our perception of the book is that we're supposed to know it already.
Yeah.
We just have it all figured out. But it's not, you start somewhere. And also, I mean, a lot of people don't know where to start.
When we talk about this, you know, where to begin or how we read the Bible is really about, you know, to me, I think you got to read it together. Like, you it's not just about picking a place. It's about reading it with people, which is what I think is so important about this exercise. And to be able to do it in a way that allows us to approach it with our questions and with our curiosities and without the pressure of making sure that we have every single thing figured out and precisely correct as we're conversing and kind of exploring it together.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully like this conversation just gives people permission to start somewhere, yeah. right? Yeah. And to like learn and to grow. Yeah. So if the Bible is this grand narrative, the story of God, of who he is and how he is, of his redemptive work to save us through his son, Jesus, yeah. And yet at the same time, it's so intimidating and challenging and difficult, and it's not an easy read, right? Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Then I think there needs to be a compelling reason why.
Yeah.
A compelling why. Like, why would I wake up early in the morning to read the Bible? Why would I stay up late to read and to study and to understand, to know God? Why? Why do we read the Bible? Courtney, you want to start us on that one?
I mean, I think simply it's what you just said. It's to know God. It is a compelling thing to be able to personally and intimately get to know the creator of the universe through his word. I think there is this authentic space in connecting the creator, the one who breathed life into these words, the one who breathes life into our souls, the one who sustains us. I really feel like as I spend time in scripture, I mean, this is why I read the Bible, is really because it's a life force to me. It's what actually kind of recalibrates and aligns my heart to God's kingdom come.
Yeah.
I get to see the way he relates with me. I get to see the way he calls me and leads me to relate to others and creation. I mean, he expresses how he uniquely designed us to relate to one another in this redemptive story. And I get to take my cues from that, but it's not just about doing the right things because of that. It's because I'm in a relationship with this God who wrote this narrative. And so I get to walk with him mm-hmm. in that space because I trust that what he has for me is best, that his authority and his way and living in submission to that is my good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have that posture of submission and trust. And I don't say that as though you can't read it until you have that, because it's kind of one of those things where you get that by reading it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I guess as I was thinking about this in preparation, I just thought, you know, I come to it with a similar posture in the sense of like, I read this because I trust it, but more so because I trust God.
That's right.
And yeah. I trust the spirit that speaks through it. But so that helps me to read it in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, there are times that I come at it with, you know, a bias or I'm mm-hmm. looking for something specific.
Sure. Never.
I never read myself into scripture.
Yeah.
But when I truly, and this has been my practice lately, is just trying to sit with physically hands open and just, you know, say, okay, Lord, you know, meet me. I know you're here, but I want to be here with you. I want to interact with you. I was thinking this morning about how one of my love languages is, I guess, quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want quality time with you and your word. And I want your spirit to, you know, I want to commune with you. And I can do that. In scripture, and sometimes it's a little bit more objective, but I agree with what you're saying.
But I think that's so good, because like I think when you're talking about that, what's interesting is you actually give us a picture of what it looks like for you to read. You know, you open your Bible to a place and then you open your hands and say, God, can you meet me here? And that frames the way you read something. We talked about this, you know, this idea of posture. You know, I've read it. What I kind of wrote down is I read it in all the like the most predictable ways. I've read it to find nuggets. I've read it to find something encouraging. I've read it to find something comforting. I've even read it to prove something that I wanted to go after. Something, you know, not maybe in a malicious way, but in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, this buttresses my case. And you know, over the years, like I said, it's so funny what I've appreciated. And I'll read this, because I think one of the things that Jesus said. You know, he said, you know, he's talking to the Pharisees. He's like, you do not have the words abiding in you. For you do not believe the one whom the Father has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you will have eternal life. Or that, and he's talking about this way. And then he says, but it is the scriptures that bear witness to me. And when I began to really shift and change and start to read the Bible, looking for not just the person of Jesus, I mean, that's what you're doing, but looking for the work, the way of God's redemptive patterns and his call of his people, it really changed the way I read it. And the thing that I love about actually reading it, and you know, we had talked about this idea of posture, and I'd thrown out the word pace, and it just sounded kind of funny. But as I was thinking about it, that's what it does for me, because I get in the mornings and I have all these things on my mind and heart. I do this Sunday, and I'll just pull out a lot of times the Psalms, and I'll just read them very, very slowly and deliberately, just to settle everything down. And what I found over the years, amid reading it and being more confused or conflicted or troubled or bothered, or sometimes just scratching my head, and that all those things have happened to me, even as someone who's been studying it for a long time, what I have, the reason that I read it to this day and that I depend on it, is because of its activity. There is nothing else that I found that allows me to experience and you said the phrase, to these cues, these subtle little pushes that God, you know, uses his word to speak into my life.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite scriptures about scripture is 2 Timothy 3:16. And 17, it says that all scripture is breathed out by God. So it's that idea of inspired by God. It's his idea. It's created. It's birthed by him. And it's profitable, or it's valuable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I used to read that, and I thought that it was saying that the Bible is good and valuable for pastors and preachers to preach a good message.
Right.
But it's actually saying that the Bible is valuable to preach to us,
yes,
to teach us and to train us, to challenge us and correct us.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the reality is, like, the four of us sit here, and a lot of our church see us as kind of like professional Christians because we work at the church,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we should be pretty good at this thing. And the reality is, the longer I walk with God, the more I realize how little I have it all figured out. And that I need to be taught and reproofed, which is like to be like challenged. I need to be corrected, and I need to be trained up in righteousness. And so that's one of the reasons why I read scripture, is because I know that I have a lot of room to grow. I don't come to it because I have it all figured out. I come to it because I want to learn. I want to be stretched and grown and shaped to become more and more like Jesus. And then at the end of it, it says that we're complete,
yeah,
mature, equipped for every good work that God has for us each day. And so, yeah, it's that source. I think we've all kind of said that. So why do we read the Bible? Because it's like a source of life, of showing us the way to live, of changing us and transforming us, to making us into who God created us to be. But then it's also this idea of presence, right? That, like, I read because, like, in reading God's words in scripture, like, it's just even more evident that I'm in a relationship with him, Courtney, like you said, that I'm present with him and I'm allowing him to have his way in me, as opposed to me having my way, right, in my own life.
Yep. Do you have a kind of a ritual or a discipline as you prepare to read that anybody uses or does? Like, open hands, what do you do?
I pray.
Yeah.
I mean, I specifically pray to, like, Father.
Mm.
And that's just something that I've kind of done through my young adult life is just praying to Father, as Jesus, you know, taught us to pray.
Yeah.
And so it's that posture of, like, a father wants to teach you, like, good things, you know?
Mm-hmm. As you were speaking, Clay, I was thinking, it's so good, and I think even the beauty of it is the complexity of it. And I think also, you know, we come at anything with our own cultural lens, and so I'm going to talk about worldview because I love cultures and just the way that so many different people around the world see the world differently. And so, but the beauty is that there is one scripture, there's one book, one library that's so it's told in a bunch of different, or it's like presented through a variety of ways, but it's the same God. And this has been applicable and relevant and living and active for all cultures through all of time. Yeah. Well, since it was written, yeah. I should say. Yeah. And that, I mean, to sit with that tells you something about God.
Wow.
And that tells you about the Spirit and how relevant it is, you know. And so I love that. And actually, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. And I think I to admit there are seasons where I felt bored in reading the scripture. And so just trying to come back around and realize that that's actually my fault. And so asking the Lord, you know, help it to come alive, help me to see what you see. And, you know, we have to remember that the men who wrote this were living in a cultural moment of their own. And so their own culture is spoken into this, but so is ours. And that's actually the interesting part is that as different as our cultures are, you start to see what's actually human. Mm. And so for me in the last year, just reading through it as I've studied, particularly the honor shame lens, much of this was written in a culture that is predominantly has an honor and shame lens, where we predominantly have a guilt innocence. Just and understanding that has made so much of scripture come alive in a whole new way. And so I just think while it can be direct and it can be very simple in some ways, because that's how good God is and he helps us understand before we really understand. You also get in and realize, oh my gosh, this is like so complex and there's so much to it and there's so many layers and levels and I don't, a lifetime's not long enough for me to actually understand what's all going on here. And so,
it gives us eternity, right?
It does, there you go. And so I just love that. And so I think just as I'm listening to you talk, it's so true. And that's just for us, you know, in our Western American mindset, but think of people around the world and it's just as applicable to them, you know, living in wherever who's and they experience the world different. And that to me, that's who God is, you know, and we get to be a part of that.
And to me, when you say that, it just, that to me is the compelling picture of God. It's his beauty. As you know, when you say he breathed in my mind, because I've been so consumed with this design and creation of what God has done. You know, God breathed in it. It's his words. It's his creative energy. It's what he does to make things. And when you said it, just gives you just this compelling picture of how beautiful and intimate God is with us, with each of us.
And he brings us into this family. Like that what he's speaking is, what he's creating is a family of people from all over the world. And that we get to know his heart in that as we're reading it, as he's creating it, and as the story is unfolding.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So good. So we don't want to end this conversation today and simply walk away with information.
Right.
I think we want to walk away with some things to put into practice. Because that's where it starts. Actually, us growing in, feeling more comfortable and confident with this is going to start with practice.
Yep.
Because it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And so I think what's really cool for us as a church is that we have an opportunity to practice as we move into this new series kind of focused around the book of Titus.
Right.
So you already kind of gave us the assignment, which is going to be for all of us to this week read the book of Titus.
Yes.
And I know people are going to hear that and like flip out. Like, I can't read a book of the Bible in 1 week. And it's like, no, you can. It's 2 pages long.
Yeah.
Super short.
Yeah, you can read it a couple times. Yeah.
It takes about 6 minutes and 47 seconds to read it. And when I did, I timed it.
I love
that
you know that exactly.
6 minutes and 47 seconds. I'm a pretty slow reader.
Yeah, I love that.
So, yeah.
So that's what we're going to do is we're going to ask all of us and all of our church to let's read Titus together. Not all of us together, but all of us at the same time during this week to read it in preparation for next Sunday.
Yeah.
And we're going to give some kind of practical tips to help people do that.
Yeah.
But But as we've given them the assignment, can you give us maybe a little bit more of a teaser of kind of what we're looking at in Titus? So it is compelling.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Okay, but if we're talking about those things, right. I definitely want to read it.
So there's a verse in Titus where Paul is writing and he says, man, all these Cretan people, it's written to Titus, who's on the island of Crete in Greece. And he says, so it's a real place, real time, real things are happening. And you sometimes we forget this when reading the Bible. Like, this is actually a real things going on. It's that culture piece. And so he says they're all full of themselves and they deceive each other and they manipulate people with language and they can't be trusted. And so he writes this letter as to how to follow Jesus in a culture like that. I thought, wow, that sounds kind of a lot like what we're experiencing right now. Like, you know, we can all relate to people using words not to try and, you know, be truthful or to communicate clearly, but to rather get you on my side or manipulate this or make the other person look bad. And then here's this letter that's written that just says, look, it's not about being on this side or that side, but here's the way of Jesus, and here's you want to stay focused. And I just thought it would be a beautiful thing for us to read this together and to maybe see what God is saying to us collectively, not just to me personally or you personally, but to us collectively, and to use that to say, how are we going to navigate these coming weeks and months and however long, you know, things continue to be in this particular vein. And that was what the intrigue of the letter was.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. And it's interesting because I think what will be helpful to all of us in our church is that we can read this letter that does have some challenging things that will bring up some questions, but by you leading us through it, we can ask those questions, right? And I think that's the huge part in growing and learning how to read and understand and live this out is asking the hard questions. But to do it by yourself can be a real challenge. Yeah. So let's kind of end with some practical things. So for someone who, let's just say in our church, who just feels uncomfortable reading the Bible, they do it some and they try it and they, you know, starts and stops. What are some places to start as they begin to read Titus this week?
Yeah.
And Mike, I'll let you go first.
So what I would say, if you're reading Titus, I would read it all in one sitting. Just start to finish. And then I would probably just in my mind kind of, and you have to prepare yourself. It's a letter that's written to a guy who's leading or organizing or setting up these churches. And then I would read it again a second time, and I would just make pick my pen and a piece of paper and just make, hey, what are the themes that I noticed? What are the things that I noticed? You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to understand everything about it. Just what are the things you noticed? What are the questions you had? Did something bother you? Did something go, you know, and did something maybe confirm what you already believe? And just make a list of those things. It doesn't have to be long, just whatever you think. And then that will give you at least enough. When we start talking about it on Sunday, you'll be going, oh, I had that question too, or oh, I thought that too, or wow, I didn't see it like that. And we'll be doing this together over the next few weeks.
I love something that you said, because our relationship with God and entering into the scriptures, it is personal, but it's not private.
Right.
And so that togetherness is so important in that, because what I'm learning and what you're learning and how we're encountering the scriptures may be different, and we might be able to actually see a bigger picture of God's heart through that togetherness that we're entering in to do. So,
that's great.
And something else, I always have my journal. When I'm reading my Bible, I am, but it's because if I'm writing down who I'm seeing God as and how I'm seeing him relate to me, to the world, it helps me to actually, one, remember it if I write it down, because oftentimes I can, even if it's something significant that was in a moment where I really felt like I was encountering God, I can, you know, walk out the door and leave it there. So it helps me to remember. But also, I think just writing out a scripture is something that's really helpful to me too, that I, as I'm reading scripture, make a practice of doing this. And I love hand lettering, which is super cheesy, I know, but I like to write. So that's something that's helpful for me in just a practice and experientially encountering God through the word.
So read together.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that in kind of American culture, we don't always encourage.
Right.
But like, the Bible is actually meant to be read in community, right? So as a church, we're going to read this, but also read it with your family or with a friend. Write as you read.
Yeah.
Write down the questions. Write the things that you see. I would add another one is that use resources.
Yes.
So I'm the kind of guy, I don't like to ask for directions or for help. But I'm learning that, and there's so many great resources yes. out there. And one of the things that I would do before I read Titus is you gave us a little bit of the culture, yeah. but there's so many study Bibles that have a great like summary of the context and the culture, what was going on at the time. There's free resources on YouVersion Bible app and Bible Gateway that can really kind of give you that bigger context. Yeah. Because sometimes we want to read it in our concept, we need that bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And so use resources, like cheat in that way,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Because that's going to help you to get a more full understanding of what's being said, especially in a letter like Titus. Yeah. I read a quote a while back that really helped me with understanding scripture, and it said that the Bible is written for us, but it wasn't written to us. Mm. It was always written to a specific original audience. Yeah. And so to understand the scripture, you kind of need to understand why the original author was writing to the original audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because we don't live in that Cretan culture. Right. Yeah. We live in a culture very similar. But so we have to begin understanding.
We have social media.
We need resources to help us to do that.
You're right. Yeah, 100%.
I feel like that gives the bigger picture of the why yeah. of what you're reading, not just right. the environment right. and the context, but it, you get the why of why this was written when you understand yes. where and to whom it was written to.
It also keeps us from trying to grab nuggets that may or may not be, you know, what God is actually saying. It gives us a little bit, just better perspective, I think, is always helpful.
Yeah. So read together. Read with a pen or pencil in your hand. Yep. Use resources. Laura Lynn, you want to give us a fourth?
Yes. So I'm thinking of all sorts of things. But, I think it's a little bit of what I mentioned earlier is just if we believe that this is inspired by the Holy Spirit and we believe that it's, you know, living and active and relevant, and it says that in there, so if you don't know that yet, it's to be discovered. But read with the Spirit. So I would say start with prayer, yeah. you know, and really ask God to help you see what he wants you to see. To open your eyes, you know, there's a passage in here that's from the Old Testament, and you know, Jesus references it again in the New Testament. And I'm going to butcher it because I don't have it memorized, but it's like, you know, you're basically saying you're going to be ever seeing but never perceiving, mm-hmm. and hearing but never
understanding.
And so when I first read that, I thought, well, that's rude because you apparently don't want us to understand your word, and that seems very counterintuitive to a God who wants to be known.
Yeah.
But what I've come to learn is that he doesn't want us to be lazy. And so he doesn't actually want us, he wants to actually be known. And I think just taking a quick glance at something that's pretty haphazard, if we're honest with ourselves, is not enough to actually get to know anyone. And
right.
so I think, you know, as I'm hearing you talk of, you know, like do your research, have a pen, have a friend, all of that stuff. It's like, you know, come at this with a sense of reverence and intention, really, to say, I really do want to learn and understand. And I'll be honest, the book of Titus has some hard things in it. So it may be short, but it is mighty, and it can really, it could really throw you off.
Yeah.
If you don't to read with it, or if you don't invite the Spirit to read with you.
Mm-hmm.
So in light of that, a new practice that I'm actually trying to do is as I read it is, well, to pray before, but then also as I read something, if I don't understand it, to again, just say, okay, Lord, help me to understand. And then just to keep reading mm-hmm. it, keep reading the passage before it and the one after it to see if it makes sense in context, you know. And then just even to admit, you know, Lord, this does not sit well with me.
Yeah.
I do not love this.
Yeah.
But I know that you're good. And, you know, like to go back
yeah,
to what I know
good.
Of who he is.
Yes.
But just to be honest and say, because there is a lot of hard stuff in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, some of it is offensive to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because he gives us a better way.
Yeah.
And so if I come at it and walk away because something's offensive,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss it, and I don't
yeah.
want to miss it. I
yeah.
do know enough to know that I don't want to miss it. And so so I would say kind of to your point of like reading with a pen, write down your questions, ask God or tell him,
mm-hmm.
I don't like this. This doesn't seem to fit with the rest of what I know or whatever. And trust me, every single time that I've done that, he has led me. And not that everything's always clear,
mm-hmm.
But I just also don't think that's always the point. So he wants to be in that with us. And so I'm trying to bring him into that as opposed to just being mad and canceling Titus.
And you're speaking to a point that we said already, but this aspect of submission that is so important when we're entering into the scriptures. I know for me, I pray, just like you said, but I ask God first to search me and to know me and to know my heart, because if I do believe that his word is active, it's going to do something in me as well. Right. It's not just going to inform my intellect. I'm asking him and availing myself to what he wants to do in me through his word, even if that makes me incredibly uncomfortable and makes me feel like I know nothing. In fact, the more I read, the more I learn, I know less. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
You know. So, you know, but that space of submission and availing myself to what God wants to do through his word, both in me and through me, because it's never about me just getting something, like, you know, it's about relating in the world. And so that's just something that I find myself have put into practice over a long time that has helps I see God form me through that space.
Yeah. I think that's the thing I love when you said that, Courtney, is the picture in my head. And again, I kind of have been living in that Genesis creation story for a while, just because it's been just trying to see the beauty in it, because it's so short and there's so much that happens. But if you think about when God speaks, right, it's always creating things. And what he's creating in us is the new creation that he has made. So it's his words that do that. And that's how it becomes active and living and powerful and formative, and at the same time, you know, personal. And I think the maybe one thing that I would, you know, want to make sure people feel permission to do is we're going to read this together and we're going to be concerned with what God is saying together. But if you read this and God speaks to you personally, you do not need to feel badly about that. It just means he's met you in an intimate way. And so it's going to be both of those things that I think are going to be occurring over these next few weeks together.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I've been encouraged by this conversation, right? Because the longer you spend time walking with God and reading scripture, it can get hard at times. And just to be refreshed in like what this is, why we read it, even though it can be hard and challenging, and what it actually does in us.
Yes.
It's creating something new in us because Jesus has made us new. And if we trust God in that, and we trust Jesus in that, and we want to be more like Jesus, then I think we read this more. And we learn from it. We meet God there, and we let him do a work in our hearts. But that takes us starting somewhere, posturing ourselves in a way to learn, and practicing it over and over and over. And so that's what we're going to do. And we'll see what God does, not only as we as a church continue to grow in our comfort and our confidence here, personally, but corporately. And as we read Titus, I don't know, God might do something really, really cool in our church for the sake of what he wants to do in this world, that we would be a distinct people in a culture, that we would react differently, that we would react in a way that people look at us and say, they look a whole lot like Jesus. And I hope that's the point. So thank you guys for sharing, for being a part of this conversation. And I hope that our church is really encouraged and helped by it so that they can continue to grow in their walks with God. Thanks, guys.